Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory and honor and praise. And God, we thank you for everything that you are. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you reside in us. Lord, I pray that you would empty all of me out today, Lord, that only your Holy Spirit would remain. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to me and through me as we take a look at your word and kingdom principles that are so important to learn and to live by. And we pray this all in your name. Amen. So we're continuing our kingdom principles series and talking about not just biblical truths, but principles or ways and lessons that we can learn. And if we apply them to our lives, they make such a big difference. And last week we talked about prayers and how the prayers of a righteous person, they can avail much. And we talked about how there are certain things that can get in the way or hinder our prayers. And that's very important to understand. And this week, as we continue our kingdom principles, we're going to look at one that really points to the reality that Christianity, our belief and our faith and trust in God, it is more than just a relationship, it's more than a religion. It is a relationship. And that's an important thing to understand. And Jesus spoke to this when he was being questioned by some teachers of the law. They were trying to test him and trap him. They were asking him all these questions, and he responded in such a profound and very clear way. And as a result, a scribe had come up to him and he said, "Jesus, teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus's response, that's our kingdom principle this week. And it's actually a two-parter. We will get into the second part of it next week, but this week we're focusing on Mark 12, verse 30. And in the NASB, it says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." The Greek word for love is agapao, and it probably sounds similar to agape, and that's because they're coming from the same root. Agapao is the verb, so it's to love, where agape, it's the noun, love. And this is a sacrificial and unconditional love. Last year, we talked about the different kind of loves, and this is the one that is God's love. It is unconditional and it is sacrificial. And the best illustration or example to explain this is Jesus on the cross. Jesus didn't want to die. He wanted to do the Father's will. And Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to give our life, not because he wanted to, but because it was in the best interests of us, because he loved us. He loved us unconditionally and sacrificially. So we are commanded this greatest commandment, and a command is an order. It's something we are told we need to do, that we are told that we need to love God with all of our heart. The Greek word is cardia, and it is the center of our emotions, our desires, our affections. That's the heart. Then we are told to love him with our soul. The Greek word is psuche. And it's a person's being. It's our uniqueness. It what makes us special, what makes us different from other people, our soul. And then the mind, it's dianoia. And this is the center of our intellect. It's how and what we think about. So we're to love God with our minds as well. And then the fourth area is our strength. It's iskus. And this is our drive or our will. What drives you? What is your will? What do you want to do? What motivates you? That is your strength. And it's important to understand that this was broken down this way, not that it would be separated, not to say that, you know, we can love God with our heart, we can love God with our soul. It was broken up to show us that we need to love God with our entire being. We need to love God with 100% of who we are, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. But what exactly does that look like? You know, as we talk about loving God unconditionally, sacrificially, this agapeo or this agape love, what exactly does it look like? How does that translate into our everyday lives? And I want to use the framework of the five love languages. A lot of you were part of Sato's book study several weeks ago, and we talked about this, and it kind of use this framework to explain that people express and give love based on five love languages. And so I wanted to apply this to God. And those five love languages are words of affirmation, acts of service, giving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. And so the first one, words of affirmation, and the worship songs Matt played are such a great illustration of this. So two things. One, are you praising God? Are you thanking him? Are you worshiping him with words? Are you telling God that you love him? Are you expressing your love through those affirming words of who God is and what he has done for you? And then the other aspect that we learned about is, do you tell others, do you use those words of affirmation to tell others how incredibly awesome, how loving God is? I thought of this illustration that many of you, you probably had a friend or a family member that maybe you've tried to hook up on a blind date, or maybe you've tried to get a family member a job, someone that you love, maybe it's a friend as well. I'm sure that in order to do that, you told the other person, maybe it's the potential employer or the potential boyfriend or girlfriend, you probably said a lot of really nice things about your son or daughter, your brother, your sister, your roommate. You probably said some really good things. Maybe it was, wow, they work really hard. They're really kind. You know, they're very funny, whatever it happened to be. And that's because you wanted there to be a connection. So do you use words of affirmation when you talk about God? Do you say incredibly wonderful things about God to others in the hope that others will connect with God? We talked about planting seeds several weeks ago, and this is one of those ways we can do it, is we share with others through affirming words what God has done in the hope that we will connect them to God, that they will form a connection to him. So that first area is words of affirmation. The second area, or second love language, is acts of service. Do you serve God's church, both locally and globally, the kingdom of God? Proverbs 19, verse 17, the NASB, it says, one who is gracious to a poor person lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deeds, or his good deed. So we serve God by serving others. So when we're doing ministry, when we're feeding the homeless, when we're ministering to people, just that ministry of presence, we are doing it to God. And hopefully that is an incredible motivation for you to serve. But that's how we can express our love, through acts of service to God. Giving gifts, this is another way. And you may be thinking, well, what can I possibly give to God, the creator of the universe, who has everything? Well, one, you can give yourself. You can be a gift to God. You can say, God, use me however you want. I am your servant. I'm here to serve you. I want to do your will. Whatever you want, Lord, that's what I want. So you can be a living sacrifice to God. You can present yourself as a gift to him, to use for his kingdom purposes. And the other way that we can love God through gifts is through our tithes and offerings. 2 Corinthians 9:7, the NASB says, each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So that's something to remember, that when you give a gift of God, when you're giving of your tithes and offerings, do it with a cheerful heart. No one likes to receive a gift that's given disgruntledly. You know, if you're angry or bitter about giving someone a gift, it's not really much of a gift, and it's really not showing love. So remember, it's also the heart condition that you are giving this gift to God. Physical touch is another one of the love languages. Matthew 25, 37 through 40, it says this. It says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me. So it's important to understand that although we cannot physically touch God, he has told us that when we do things unto others, when we help others, when we serve others, we are doing it to him. So when we provide food, clothing, shelter, we are doing it to God. Or maybe it's if someone needs a hug or a pat on the back, if you know that is something that will just change their day, it'll pick up their spirits. Maybe it's a phone call, maybe it's a text, it's an email, it's a card, that you're doing it to God. And this got me thinking that if scripture tells us that we are loving God, we're expressing our love to him through doing things for others, then that would mean when we are hurting others, if someone is physically hurting someone or emotionally hurting someone, we're hurting God as well. It's just a way to really think about that, our actions and how we live our lives and how we treat others. So we have to remember that when we're doing things to others, we need to view them as if we're doing them unto God. And then the final love language is quality time. Do you spend time communicating with God? Do you pray? Do you sing worship songs? Do you listen to worship songs about him? Do you spend time learning about God? Do you read your Bible? Do you study it? Do you look at your devotionals? Do you really dig in to see what is God's nature? What is his character? What are his likes and dislikes? And then do you spend time thanking him, praising him for everything that he's done for you? These are the ways that we express love through quality time to God. Now, hopefully by walking through those five love languages, you have a little bit of a better understanding, or hopefully a much better understanding of what it means to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. And what's so incredible about God's word, what's so incredible about the Bible, is that even though he has given us these explanations of how we can do that, and then we can use someone's book study, we can use someone's concepts in the five love languages to really help it to stick, you know, for us to really get it, the Bible presents us with a test to ask ourselves, are we truly loving God in all of those ways, in those four ways, unconditionally and sacrificially? 1 John 4, verse 20, it says, if someone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother or sister who he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. That's a really powerful test, and it's pretty black and white of what it's saying there. John 14, verse 15, also in the NSAB, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, meaning you will follow what the Bible says. You will live your life according to biblical teaching. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean, you know, you're going to screw up every now and then or screw up every single day, but it means your heart, your desire is to do what the Bible tells us to do. It's to do what God is telling us to do, to truly live the Christian life. Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Scripture tells us that money, material things, can be extremely challenging to our faith. So who do you love? What do you love? Is it God or is it something else? 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you chase after worldly goals and worldly desires and worldly passions? Or do you chase after the things that God wants? And you may be asking yourselves, what are the things that God wants? That's why we need to spend time in the Bible so we can find those things out. What is it that God desires? What are his likes and dislikes? That's why we need to spend quality time with him. And then 1 John 3:17, it says, but whoever has worldly goods and sees his brother or sister in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God remain in him? So serving others, caring for the needs of others, it's so important, and it shows. It is one of those tests of our sacrificial or complete unconditional love of God. And I love that Jesus, that God, that the Holy Spirit, that we don't just have these commands on how we're to love God with our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. We're also given a test. And I think it's good to test ourselves and say, hey, am I loving God unconditionally, or am I struggling to do that? So then how is it that we grow in our love of God unconditionally and sacrificially? That agapao, how do we love him that way? Well, it starts with understanding a few things. And the first one is the source of love. Where does love come from? And again, this is the unconditional love. This isn't friendship love. This isn't romantic love. This is unconditional, sacrificial, Jesus on the cross kind of love. How do we love God that way, unconditionally, with our entire being? 1 John 4, verses 7 through 8, it says, beloved, let's love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. What this verse is saying first is that God is the source of unconditional love. And the only way to love him back unconditionally is to truly accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is the first step. You truly have to believe in him with your mind and your heart. That's the first step in growing in our unconditional love of God. Now, there's another part to understanding the source of God, and that's understanding the Holy Spirit's role in this. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, in NASB, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And I love that scripture tells us that the very first one of those is love. So one of the very first expressions, or the fruit of the Spirit, that which comes out when we have the Holy Spirit in us, one of those first expressions is agape love. So we need the Holy Spirit to enable us, or allow us, or to express unconditional love for God in those four areas: our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. We need the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. It's not something that we can just say we want to love God in those four areas completely. We can't do it. We need the Holy Spirit in us. Think about it this way. For those of you that are caffeine drinkers, or if you're tea drinkers, or if you drink like power drinks, things like that, like Red Bull, it's kind of like caffeine in your body. The energy boost is a result of having caffeine in you. Your body doesn't just produce energy on its own. It's the caffeine that's allowing that energy to take place. Well, the same thing is true of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in us to allow us to express that love. That's the fruit, or one of the fruit, like one of the expressions of having the fruit of the Spirit is that it's having the ability to love God unconditionally and sacrificially. So the Holy Spirit is so important in our ability to love God completely. And what is so incredible about the Holy Spirit is that it is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit, he is God in us. And we all receive the Holy Spirit the moment that we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's what's so incredible, that the Holy Spirit is part of that process. And it's such an incredible gift. The Holy Spirit, He is our guide. He helps us. He guides us. But there is a however, and that however is that the more in tune we are to the Holy Spirit, the more we will see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and the more we will see the gifts of the Spirit manifest in our lives. What that means is, if you're struggling to love God unconditionally, or if you find yourself able to love God with your mind but nothing else, perhaps it's because you are not in tune with the Holy Spirit enough. He is in you, but have you really developed an understanding of how He's operating in you? Have you really paid attention to His movement in your life? When the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, are you listening? Or are you tuning the Holy Spirit out and you're listening to the world? I was reading a devotional today that spoke to that. It talked about how easy it is to not hear the Holy Spirit. That's God in us. So if you want to be able, and we all really should, because it is a commandment, if you want to be able to love God unconditionally, 100% of your being, be praying that the Holy Spirit manifests in a greater way in your life, and pray that you can experience more of His fruit and those spiritual gifts that He empowers us with to do ministry, to further the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit's role is so important because, again, we cannot love God unconditionally with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength unless it's the Holy Spirit manifesting that love in us. I want to end with this as we really do kind of revisit the five love languages. Today, the rest of this week, ask yourself, do I truly understand God's love languages? Do I understand how God gives love to me and to the world? And do I understand how God receives love? Also ask yourself, how have I been expressing love to God? How do I show my love and affection to the Creator of the universe? And just like we learned in our five love languages, ask yourselves, what is one of those areas, one of those five love languages, then I need to improve upon? Or ask yourself specifically with the four, is there one of the four, our heart, our mind, our strength, or our soul, is there one of those that either I am struggling with or I don't really understand how to express my love to God in that way? Pray about those things. Because as our worship songs told us earlier, it is so incredible when we can just reflect on the Creator of the universe, on what He's done for us. God loves us unconditionally. Jesus sacrificed Himself for us. And we need to love Him back. We are commanded to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. But sometimes we need a little help besides the Holy Spirit in us, which allows us to do it. We need to understand the areas that we're lacking so we can work on them, so we can ask God to help us. So I want to encourage you this week to ask yourself again, how are you loving God? How does He receive love from me? And is there one of those areas I need to work on? Lord Jesus, we give You all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, thank You. Thank You for loving us. Holy Spirit, thank You for being inside of us to allow us to express love completely to God. Lord Jesus, help us. If there are areas where we are falling short, if there are areas that we don't even see that we are not loving You, reveal them to us. Help us get to that place where we can say we love God with our entire being. And Lord, as we will learn next week, this is going to help us in our relationship with others. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Thank you for your sacrifice. We pray this in your name. Amen.